You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to an action-packed William Hill Irish Racing podcast here on Saturday, September the 15th. Andy Holding casting his eye over what can only be described as an unbelievably good day at Leopardstown. We've got Group 1 action all the way. Of course, the highlight coming in the shape of the Champion Stakes at 6:35, but that is no means to detract from what else we've got on the card. Alpha Centauri, of course, races in the Group 1 in the Matron. We've got good Group 2 and Group 3 action. Fantastic handicaps at 350. And the 710 are very much mouth-watering events and puzzles for you to get your head around. And not forgetting the Stole as well. I've gone with just three races there, which I believe are worth getting stuck into. So plenty to talk about here today on the podcast.
Race 1.
Without further ado, we'll get on with the very first race, and probably one of my best bets of the day runs here in the shape of Foxtrot Live from the Paul Toomey stable. Now, this horse is a little bit unheralded, based on sort of stable yard snobbery, but that shouldn't suggest we should underestimate this filly, who was hugely impressive both visually and on the clock when winning at the Curragh in the early part of last month. She quickened up really well to justify her strong market support, and the time figure was very good as well, and the form has already worked out with the six winning at Dundalk subsequently. Obviously, she's got Trianthus in the field as a main danger, and I've got a massive amount of respect for Jessica Harrington's filly by Invincible Spirit, who lowered the colours of Pink Dogwood last time out at the Curragh in pretty decisive fashion. And if it wasn't for the draw of 13, I would have actually gone with Jessica Harrington's charge here. But Foxtrot Live at the morning prices was 5-1, a lower draw. And given that the way this race is likely to be panning out, I think she could just get first run, which might just prove decisive in the final analysis there in the opening contest.
Race 2.
On to the 350 mile 5 handicap, and we have got arguably the best field assembled for a race of this nature in quite some time. I'd almost say this is a group race, or it's got horses that can or should be running in group races. Limini, Astronomer, Cliffs of Dunedin, Sharjah, Bats Rock, Saracen Knight. This really is a who's who of mile and a half middle distance Irish horses, and given that the three-year-olds, to my eyes anyway, of what I've seen and done so far over in Ireland, I think they've got an advantage. So I'm going to go with Saracen Knight and Astronomer, both from the Aidan O'Brien stable. I'll deal with Saracen Knight first. He's obviously had some kind of issue because he hadn't been on the track for the thick end of 9 months when he went to Nice the other day, but he was well worth the wait. He made all the running in the hands of Donna Carrow-Brien. I love the way he quickened off the front two. Spread Eagle, a decent field, and there was a strongly fancied Dermot Weld horse in that race called Centroid, who literally got lapped. The sectional times in the last three furlongs were exceptional. And this horse has got some good form towards the back end of last season. He's a definite group horse, no doubt about that. And it'll take a good horse to beat him this afternoon. If he is going to get beat, it might well be from Stabbing Companion Astronomer, who continues on the up. And his victory the other day at Listowel really put a seal on what can only be described as a meteoric rise from winning a maiden at Galway three starts ago. It's hard to know what to expect from this horse. I think he's capable of even more. I mean, he literally won without breaking sweat the other day, and I think this better ground will suit him again this afternoon, as he won at Bellystown on decent ground. So I'll be surprised if one of these two Aidan O'Brien horses don't take a major, major hand in the finish here. They've got the time figures, they're going forward at the right time, they're fairly lightly raced. And even though you've got to respect Willie Mullins' Sharjah and Limini, are both top-class horses over hurdles respectively, I do think three-year-olds might just hold sway.
Race number 3.
On On to the 425 then, and one of the big two-year-old races on the card. It's hard to get away from Mad Moon's success last time out to this course and distance, even though it wasn't a particularly strong rerun race. It's just the way he quickened up in the last three furlongs, posting a very good sectional and lowering the colours of Sydney Opera House, who was a 4-9 shot, that really left a lasting impression on the racegoers that day. It's hard to see how Aidan O'Brien's horse could turn the form around unless there's an unbelievable gallop on this afternoon and the race is run under completely different circumstances. Then I do think this Colt by Dawn approach is certainly going to end the season in the best possible manner. I mean, he could well be a Derby horse for next year. Certainly looks a horse that's got a great turn of foot anyway. He's a big unit. I think he'll get stronger as time goes on. So Mad Moon really is a hard horse to get away from here this afternoon. And I'd be surprised, and rather disappointed, along with quite a few many, if he manages to get licked this afternoon.
Race 4.
Onto the 4:55 then, and the Trapio races. I didn't think there was a massive angle in this contest. Obviously, Rostropovich arguably holds the best form coming into this race. He's second behind Old Persian at Royal Ascot's been franked. The run behind Latrobe in the Irish Derby was a good one, of course, with Saxon Warrior back in third. And he was just a bit too keen for his own good last time at Ascot, obviously in a very strongly run King George. This is very much a drop down in grade. And he should really take advantage in Group 3 company. But arguably the bet for me in this race is Mustajir without the favourite, because I loved his run last time out in the Ebor. He got into a terrible track position. He was drawn 20. Now, I know Muta Aha went wide from 21, but unfortunately, Gary Carroll didn't do the same and follow Jim Crowley on the outside. And I think if he would have done, he might have gone very close. He's done all his best work at the end, but he's not short of foot either. And he's second behind I'm So Fancy at the Curragh over a mile and a quarter, suggests that he's fairly useful over shorter distances. Indeed, Sizzling, the third horse, has won since. So a mile and a half could actually be his bag. And largely speaking, the Joe Lyons horse is remaining good form. So, as I said, I think the angle in here in this race is to back Mustajir without the favourite.
Race 5.
On to the 5:25 then. And we've got the presence of Alfreton Centauri homing into view. And it really is very difficult to see beyond her here. I mean, everyone knows how good this filly is. She's a genuine 3-on shot. She will win pretty much as she likes. So, again, I'm looking for a little bit of scraps on the table. And I'd probably go in Magical as the horse to chase her home. Obviously, Ryan Moore's chosen her instead of Happily. And I think that's a wise decision, considering she comes here off the back of a victory last time out at the Curragh, beating the horse who has subsequently gone on to win twice at the track, I'm So Fancy. Indeed, I'm So Fancy is probably the benchmark for all fillies form over in Ireland. You could forgive her the run in Longchamp on the first time out of the season because the ground was heavy. Decent ground should be fine for her today. A mile absolutely bang on as well. So coming here fresher than most, with a little bit more upside than Happily and Lawrence, who obviously ran poorly the other day at York over a mile and a half. I think she's logically the one to go with here without the favourite. So Magical is the bet there without the jolly in the 5:25.
Race number 6.
On to the 6 o'clock then again, Group 2 action. And Dermot Well could have the winner here in the shape of Making Light. Dermot's had a little bit of an indifferent season, and there's only a few horses that have made some kind of impact in this kind of level. And I just love the way that Making Light got the job done last time at Cork. She travelled well and she quickened really decisively to absolutely obliterate Pincheck and Panstorm. Both of those two horses have won since. Pincheck, of course, himself went here to Leopardstown and beat a decent field. So I think collaterally the form is very solid. And hopefully she'll get the better of I Can Fly, who got an absolutely horrific run through at Tipperary the other day. I napped her and thought she was a good thing, but she missed the break from stall one. Ended up being towards the rear as they turned for home. And she ended up finishing her race off very eye-catchingly into fifth. But she's drawn 11 of 11 today on the wing, which might not necessarily play into her strength. So I just about prefer Making Light with better draw and the fact that she's got good form at this track as well.
Race 7.
On to the 6:35 again. We've got Group 1 action here in the shape of the Irish Champion Stakes. And on all-known form, this should really go to Roaring Lion, who's had an unbelievably good season. He very much deserves to be the crown the king of the mile and a quarter horses based on his performances early on in the season, of course, in the Dante at York. And that was backed up on the nose mile last time out. in the Judmont when he quickened away from the King George winner Poets World to leave him statutory in second by the tune of 3 1/4 lengths. That's a great thing about the Gosden horse. He's got a turn of foot. Oisin Murphy's really seen it on this horse. He can ride him with a massive amount of confidence. And, you know, I think he's just got too much class and too much pace for Saxon Warrior, who will obviously be popular, given that he's been favourite for virtually every time he's stepped foot on the track. And, of course, he is a Guineas winner, so we shouldn't disrespect him. But I'm a massive fan of Roaring Lion, and hopefully he can end his season in the best possible fashion.
And the final race.
Right, if you're struggling for winners this afternoon and you're trying to bail yourself out of trouble, well, then this is not exactly the race for you, because we've got a 20-odd runner handicap here over 7 furlongs where virtually everything in the field can be fancied. But I whittled it down to 2 or 3 just for a bit of sport. I'm a big fan of Daniel's Flyer from the David Barron stable. He was unlucky for me when he went to Galway the last day, finished second behind Safe Voyage, but he was drawn on the wing. He raced about 6 horses wide all the way around. He used up loads of petrol trying to hold his position. He still had the quality to quicken away from his fit. He looked the most likely winner inside the final furlong, only to get picked off late on by Safe Voyage. I had a much easier passage around the inside. I think he's got a good chance of turning the tables around. I couldn't believe his price this morning, 12-1. I'd make him at least second, or he probably deserves to be favourite based on that run. And there was nothing wrong with his run down in Goodwood the other day behind Flaming Spear. Of the rest, well, I do think Sir Jack Thomas had been overlooked. He was a short price and well-backed favourite the other day at Liston. I think a lot of people are shrugging their shoulders and thinking, well, we can't back him again. But because he was drawn still one, and Connections obviously wanted to make plenty of use of him from that draw, he ended up racing with Choke Out virtually all the way through that race. And on the heavy ground, he just got found out late on. But he's much better horse on better ground. He's run well here before, behind Ice Cole and Alex. He's got a lower draw today. I think he'll race in behind the speed rather than make the run in. Again, he was chalked up at 20-1 this morning, which I thought was an insult for a horse of his quality. So my two against the field, I backed them both each way. 12-1 Daniel's Fly and 20-1 Sir Jack Thomas. And I'll be disappointed if one of those two at least don't make the frame there in that final race. Right, that's promised then. Just 3 races for you at Listowel this afternoon. I won't bother going through the whole card. I'll just go in the races that I've had an interest. In the 2.55, I back 2 against the field. They both ran here early on in the week in the real competitive mares-only race. They are Demi Plea and Robin on the Hill. Demi Plea came out best of the two when finishing second behind Hum Baby. Obviously, she goes well at the track and can go well. And Robin on the Hill was the big eye-catcher that day, travelling well from the back of the field to finish a never nearer fourth. They go back to the same track. It's a policy that I like to use time and time again here at these festivals when they have 6 or 7 days when horses can run again. And hopefully one of those two will do the business there. Moving on to the 3.35. Internal Transfer is another horse that fits into that category, having finished third behind Brex Drago in a strongly run race here the other day. This horse made the running, travelled really well, until just getting a little bit tired late on. But hopefully today, with Connie McNamara taking 7 off, this Erin McNamara trained 7-year-old can go 2 places better. And the final race I'm looking at is the 4.40, another competitive handicap. Acting Time is the one to be on here. Padraig Roach has already had a good week here this Harvest Festival. And he's set to have another winner in the shape of this gelding by Stowaway, who beat a horse that bolted up on the first day of the festival called Black Scorpion. He absolutely battered him. They were well clear of the rest. The time figure was good. He obviously goes well left-handed on over 2 miles on decent ground. And he should therefore go very well to winning that 4.40, as his odds imply. OK, thanks so much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Sadly, that'll be it for now for me. I'm off for a week. I'm just going to have a little bit of a week's break. But I will be back next Sunday to take a look at whatever the meeting's on there next Sunday. So until then, it's goodbye for me for now, and have a great week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.